Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Friday, September 23rd. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America, wherever you may be, here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's great to be with you as we get ready for another weekend on this first full day of fall. On Fridays, we always remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well as the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today, the Catholic Church is celebrating the memorial of Saint Padre Pio, Pio of Petrocina, affectionately known as Padre Pio, the great Italian Franciscan Capuchin friar, renowned for his suffering, for his stigmata, and for his humility, who had miraculous abilities as a spiritual advisor, as a confessor, and he also attracted the attention of the world. St. Padre Pio once said, pray, hope, and don't worry. And he had this to say about the Mass. Quote, it would be easier for the earth to exist without the sun than without the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Powerful words and a powerful reminder for all of us. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories that you are keeping an eye on this hour here on this Friday?
Well, John, they're voting in Ukraine or being forced to vote by Russians in charge of parts of four different parts of Ukraine. And Vladimir Putin has called for a referendum in each of those areas with the aim of them declaring themselves part of Russia, at which point Russia will say to Ukraine, well, you're attacking our country now, as Ukraine tries to take back land and is succeeding greatly over the last couple of weeks here, land that was taken from them by Russia, seen largely as a complete scam, John.
How is the United Nations and countries around the world, world leaders, reacting to this sham vote?
Well, based on his speech earlier in the week in the UN gathering in New York, including the speech from President Biden, you know, not looking kindly at the latest Russian actions at all. They see it, again, totally as, you know, a false pretense to try and do more damage in Ukraine.
Meanwhile, talking about the weather, Category 4 Hurricane Fiona has roared past Bermuda, headed for Canada. A lot of warnings. This is a very dangerous, very big storm that has already caused tremendous damage in Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, Puerto Rico hit hard on Sunday. All the power in the island knocked out. About 32% as of yesterday of power has been restored. Federal aid on the way, according to President Biden as well, and as mentioned on the news a couple minutes ago here, Canada looking at possibly the strongest hurricane on record to hit the Maritime Provinces.
Wow, yeah, that's incredible. They don't get too many hurricanes up that way, so obviously all those folks will be on guard. Meanwhile, on a lighter note, here on this first full day of fall, I got my jacket out this morning with a little wool in it, ready for the 40 degrees. We got the 40-degree temperatures this morning, Glenn. Hopscotch is in the news. Hopscotch.
That's right. If you go for a walk in the neighborhood, you might see among the sidewalk chalk art, hopscotch on the various stretches of sidewalk. There is a new world record that was set in Colorado at a park south of Denver. Three people, three hoppers going 4.37 miles, breaking the 4.2 mile record set recently in Atlanta. That's a lot of hopping, Sarah.
Yeah, no, I just want to know how much training you did. That's 4 miles of hopping on 1 and 2 feet. That's a lot of work, even for three people.
That is a lot of hopping. It's mind-boggling. That would be 16 laps around a track at a football stadium.
That is impressive. Well, my hat goes off to those guys for sure.
Absolutely. You know, on any given day, there's all kinds of quirky stuff going on. There's new world records that are popping up everywhere. Glenn, you just never know what's going to happen on any given day.
No, we do our very best to keep you up on the most important matters and stuff like this, too.
And you never cease to amaze me to find these, off-the-beaten-path stories.
Just trying to keep life interesting, John.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Glenn and Sarah. We begin every hour always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings. And we always do it through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. This verse from our first Holy Father, our first Pope, St. Peter, is one that every single Catholic should have memorized. We must always be ready to give a reasonable explanation of what we believe as Catholics and why we believe it. Every Catholic dogma or doctrine, like the Holy Eucharist, the Immaculate Conception, or even purgatory, is either directly from sacred scripture or from sacred tradition. The Church just doesn't make things up out of thin air. The key is that we need to defend the faith and when we have to, and to do it with gentleness and respect. You never want to hit somebody over the head with a Bible or with a catechism. However, rest assured that there are reasonable answers to any question about our Catholic faith. We always pray with great confidence that powerful prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Our email, you can shoot us one directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, once again, 888-914-9149 if you want to be part of the program. Now, did you know that as of June 1st of this year, Illinois no longer requires minors seeking an abortion to get parental consent, even though 36 states do require parental involvement in a minor's decision to have an abortion? Listen to Dr. Brooke Bello, a Lifetime Achievement Award recipient from President Barack Obama, in an ad on parental notification by People Who Play by the Rules PAC.
My name is Dr. Brooke Bello, and I'm not a political figure. I'm a survivor. When I was a young girl, I was trafficked, drugged, and raped. The traffickers forced me to have multiple abortions. Last year, I begged Governor Pritzker to preserve the right of parents to know if their daughters were about to undergo an abortion. Governor Pritzker didn't listen to me, but I hope that you will.
A powerful ad. Joining us live from the Chicago area is our regular contributor, Mary Helen Fiorito, with much more on this ad and a new statement on pro-life principles by scholars at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Mary's an attorney, public speaker, and commentator on issues involving Catholic Church teachings, administration, and religious freedom. She holds the position of the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at both the Ethics and Public Policy Center and the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. Good morning, Mary. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you once again.
Good morning, John, and good morning to all of your listeners.
Mary, before we talk about this ad and the culture of life, first of all, on behalf of myself and my wife, Cindy, and our Morning Air team, our condolences on the recent passing of your sister, Fiona.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I was smiling as you were talking about the weather and the Hurricane Fiona heading for Canada. I think my sister would have found that very funny. I don't know if that's some kind of sign from God, but thank you. It was a very sudden passing, and she was only 49 and leaves behind three children. So it was a very difficult time for our family. And, you know, I know I was being held up that entire week by your prayers and those of many others. I don't know what people who don't have a faith do at a time like this.
Well, Mary, we love you, and you are in our prayers, absolutely, and your entire family as well.
Thank you.
Mary, your take on this political ad, this parental notification ad that we just heard. It's a full political ads season as we speak, with less than 50 days to go.
Yes, and that, as you mentioned, this is a particularly powerful one. Dr. Brooke Bello, as she mentions during the ad, is a survivor of sex trafficking. I believe she was raped when she was only 11, and then she was trafficked for many years. And she actually testified for the Illinois General Assembly on this bill that repealed our Parental Notification Act. And I just want to clarify, this wasn't obtaining the consent of parents to do an abortion on a minor. It's only notification, so only letting the parents know that a minor girl had come in to have an abortion procedure, which of course is irreversible and invasive and can carry with it itself all sorts of physical complications. So the Illinois General Assembly and Governor Pritzker knew of her testimony. They knew that traffickers intentionally seek out states that don't have parental involvement for abortions. And, you know, as she closed her testimony by saying, if one of those abortion clinics had had to call my mother might have known what state I was in. Somebody might have found me. And how you could listen to that and then repeal parental notification anyway, it just boggles the imagination. In fact, not just a majority, John, a supermajority of Illinois voters approved of the parental notification bill, 72%, and half of those identified as pro-choice. So this is not really a pro-life, pro-choice debate we're having here, because even pro-choice parents recognize the importance of parents knowing if irreversible surgery is going to be performed on a child.
We're talking about an extreme position taken by Governor Pritzker in Illinois.
Yes, he really is. On this particular issue, he has opened up young girls in Illinois, not just to sex traffickers, but also to other types of abusers. You know, what about an abusive older boyfriend that might take a minor for an abortion? What about a girl who, is a victim of some other kind of sexual crime? She can be taken for an abortion, and no one has to tell her parents. And abortion has, you know, not only, as we know, physical complications, but also, you know, spiritual ones and psychological ones that can stay with a woman, you know, for the entirety of her life. In fact, Dr. Bello is infertile. She can't have children because of, damage that was done to her uterus during her abortions, the three abortions her traffickers forced her to have. So it is critically important that parents be involved in any medical procedures being done on their child. And we are really seeing an eroding of parental rights in, you know, I think not only in this area, but also when we get into, you know, these cross-sex hormones that abortion clinics are now, Planned Parenthood is now giving these out. The ability of public schools, government schools, and these other facilities to do these surgeries or these interventions on children and not inform their parents. This should really make every mom and dad in this country sit up and pay attention and remember. Go to the polls in November, research what the candidates that you're voting for, what their stand is on parental rights, and vote accordingly.
And this was a long time battle in the state of Illinois. And when you consider that 36 states do require parental involvement, it is hard to understand how the governor signed it.
I mean, truly, because again, it was a politically very popular law, like I said. The vast majority of parents in Illinois and Illinois voters wanted to keep this law on the books, but he simply, you know, that he really did bow to the pressure from the abortion industry, which in the state of Illinois is quite wealthy and quite powerful. And now, you know, we see every other state surrounding the state of Illinois has parental involvement laws, and it would be no problem at all for any trafficker, for any abuser, just to bring a girl over the border into the state of Illinois, and no abortion clinic is going to ask her any questions whatsoever or ask any questions of the person bringing her. So what he has opened up this state to is just reprehensible. And I was so grateful to see Dr. Bello appear in that very powerful ad. And I really do hope that many, many people see it, not just in Illinois, because, again, it affects young girls really all over the Midwest, because Illinois is the abortion kind of capital now of the Midwest, and it doesn't require parents to even know a surgery is being performed. So I'm really grateful for the people who made this ad, and I just hope people are paying attention to it. It's a very, very powerful statement from a woman who has been tremendously courageous in coming forward and talking about what happened to her as a girl.
Mary, I also want to talk about this latest statement called Protecting the Unborn, a scholar statement of pro-life principle and political prudence. Your take on the importance of this statement, and also how timely it is here with 50 days to go before the midterms.
Right. This is a statement that was put out by the Ethics and Public Policy Center, where I am a fellow. And essentially, it helps to address some of the misinformation that continues to circulate. I mean, I think we saw just yesterday that Stacey Abrams, who's running for governor in the state of Georgia, said publicly that there's no such thing as a fetal heartbeat at 6 weeks. She was widely criticized for that statement, that inaccurate statement. But it just goes to show you how the pro-abortion side doesn't really care about the facts, medical, political, otherwise. And so the pro-life movement has really been trying to clarify certain issues. And one of those is, it, you know, deals with prudence, political prudence, and also with something called the principle of double effect. So, for example, if a woman has a cancerous uterus and she is pregnant, she may have surgery to remove that cancerous uterus, even if the unintended impact of that is the death of the unborn child, because that's not the intent of the surgery. The intent of the surgery is to save the mother's life. So that is a perfectly, you know, reasonable response to a woman who is faced with uterine cancer. That is not having an abortion. That is removing a cancerous uterus. But there are a lot of people who are, you know, very happy to exploit, you know, ignorance and lack of knowledge on these issues to try to get women to think that if they are diagnosed with uterine cancer and they're pregnant, they won't be able to get treatment. That is false. So a number of scholars, including OBGYNs, Catholic priests who are medical ethicists, legal scholars have created and signed this statement on political prudence and principle in order to better explain. And I think it's a really helpful resource for any of your listeners who might be following this issue more closely. The other issue, of course, as you mentioned, primaries are going to be, or not primaries, but voting day is going to be November 8th, the midterm elections. I think that sometimes people get confused that if a law isn't perfect, a pro-life law isn't perfect, protecting all unborn children at all times in pregnancy, then pro-lifers can't support it or vote for it. And that's simply not true. And St. John Paul II actually addressed this issue more than 25 years ago in a document called Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, which is probably one of his best-known encyclicals, where he talked about it being morally permissible to support an imperfect law if that was the only way we could get some protection for unborn children at some times in pregnancy. He said this is not a preference, right? You have to look at it very carefully and be prudent when you're voting for something like this. You have to think about, you know, factors such as, is this law, you know, going to last? Is it what we call a durable law, meaning a law that's likely to stay in place for a while? Are there truly no other better pro-life laws available to vote for? So you have to be very careful. But if all of those boxes are checked, a politician may vote for a less than perfect law and not have committed any wrong, and certainly be acting in accord with pro-life principles. Wanting to protect some unborn children at some times in pregnancy is better than being able to not protect any of them at any time in pregnancy.
Mary, what about cases of rape or incest or fetal disability, which so oftentimes are used as excuses to promote abortion on demand?
Right. And you know what, if what really has helped me to better understand that issue, I have an acquaintance, Ryan Bomberger from the Radiance Foundation.
Know him well.
Who I get. He's terrific. And as you know, he is a product of rape. His birth mother was raped. She placed him for adoption. He says, you know, I'm the 1%. I'm the 1% of all abortions that are used to justify the other 99%. But he does a marvelous presentation where he, you know, starts with the screen and then different adjectives about him come up, you know, Emmy winner, dad, brother, father, uncle, you know, all these different things, you know, creative genius, you know, Eddie, all these things that describe himself. And then the very last thing that comes up is product of rape. And so he, you know, it's really helpful for the kids to see, like, when you're talking about, well, there have to be exceptions to rape and incest, you're talking about me. And if I'm not here, then my kids aren't here. So my life, I had a good life, and my birth mother loved me enough to give me that life, and my adoptive family who raised me, you know, that gave me chances that I might never have had otherwise if my mother hadn't made that adoption plan for me. So when you know someone, and I happen to know two people who are here because their birth mothers were raped, and their birth mothers were courageous enough to make an adoption plan for them. And I think when you think of a traumatic situation like that, right, like incest or rape, the abortion doesn't undo the rape. The abortion doesn't undo the sexual abuse. All the abortion is going to do is to further complicate the woman's healing. It can harm her physically because abortions do have complications, but it, you know, it can also have a great psychological impact on her. The late Vicki Thorne, who was the founder of Project Rachel, she worked exclusively with women who have had abortions, with post-abortive women. And when she would try to counsel women who had had abortions because of a rape, she said the overlying feeling among all of them was that I was a victim of something violent, and then I turned around and I did the same thing to my child. But often, you know, these women were not culpable for that because really, like, the first thing everyone would just assume, you know, oh, well, you rape, well, of course you're going to have an abortion. She said it was so insulting to these women, as if they had no moral agency and no courage to say, no, I don't want to do that to my child. It's my child too, and I'm not going to make them suffer. We don't punish children for the crimes of their parents, right? So I don't think that's where the American public is. I mean, if we're just talking about practicalities and prudence, but it's not where the church is morally, because we know that those are still children whose lives matter, who God has created, and who God has a plan for. Now, when we're talking about children who have been diagnosed in utero with a disability or with a life-limiting condition, then something called perinatal hospice is the much better option than having an abortion. I have multiple friends who have had these kind of diagnoses, including very close friends, and who have used perinatal hospice, whose child is born. The child does not suffer in any way, shape, or form, because the neonatology team makes sure that adequate pain control is provided through, you know, whether the baby lives 6 minutes or 6 days, that child is not going to die in pain. The baby is baptized, held by all the family members. There are pictures and mementos, and really time, just that short time that you might have with your child is really honored, and it allows parents to be able to bond with their children before they have to say goodbye to them. So, you know, taking the life of a disabled child simply because they have a disability is not the humane thing to do. And, you know, we now have studies, thanks again to perinatal hospice programs, that show that, you know, a couple of years out, women who chose perinatal hospice have far lower rates of depression and anxiety following the death of their child with a disability.
Mary, we're going to have to leave it right there. I so much appreciate your perspective. You bring such clarity with charity to this very, very difficult issue. But it's so important for folks to know what is going on out there and be able to vote with understanding of what's actually happening. Thanks so much, Mary.
Thank you, John. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Many blessings. Mary Helen Fiorito. You can find her on Twitter at Mary Fiorito. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Father Wolfgang Seitz to discuss angels, archangels, and a new upcoming documentary movie called St. Michael, Meet the Angel. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Passing by, looking for angels.
And welcome back to Morning Air on the Memorial of St. Padre Pio. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Friday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, have you ever thought about who is your guardian angel? You ever just wonder who is my angel? Is it a ghost? Is it a spirit flying around next to us? The holy angels are powerful spirits present among us, sent to serve those who are to inherit salvation. That's according to the letter to the Hebrews. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in number 336 says, besides each believer stands an angel as protector and shepherd, leading him to life. The reality is that most Catholics know so little about the holy angels, except for perhaps the prayer that we learn when we're little children, Angel of God, my guardian dear. Now, listen to part of the trailer for a new documentary movie on St. Michael the Archangel called St. Michael, Meet the Angel.
Behold, I am sending an angel before you to guard you on your way, because my name is in him. My name is him. Saint Michael, meet the angel. In select movie theaters only on September 29th.
St. Michael, Meet the Angel will be in over 1,100 theaters across our nation. But unfortunately, it's only for one night on the feast day of St. Michael, September 29th, coming up next week. Joining us live for much more from Ohio is Father Wolfgang Seitz to teach us about the angels and the archangels, as well as to talk about this new movie, St. Michael, Meet the Angel. Father Wolfgang Seitz is a member of the Order of Canons Regular of the Holy Cross, an international order which has its mother house in Austria. He's also the superior of the community in Detroit and the national director of Opus Angelorum. Good morning, Father Wolfgang. Welcome to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us for the very first time. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for having me in your morning show.
Father Wolfgang, this upcoming documentary movie sounds really, really interesting about St. Michael. It's coming out next Thursday, September 29th, on his feast day in theaters across our country. Can you tell us a little bit about it? I've seen the trailer. I've seen a little teeny bit of it. I haven't seen the whole movie, and I did see a little bit of your participation at the end of the movie.
Yeah, the documentary was originally made in Poland, it's in Polish language, but I saw it with subtitles, and because of the monumental background and the places and all the people, even bishops and priests were participating, it has really an impact. So it's very well done, and it really inspires devotion and a greater commitment now really to turn more to the angels. We are now in the month of September, which is dedicated traditionally to the holy angels, not just St. Michael, St. Raphael, and St. Gabriel, but actually to all the holy angels. And we should take a fresh look, you know, at this heavenly spirit that God created first, this magnificent, beautiful world of the holy angels, which surrounds us as the Catechism teaches us. And this documentary can really spark here, you know, something in people that they really get interested and then are willing to work more with the angels in their daily life, and then, of course, for the salvation of souls. This is why we are here in this world, in the church. That's our goal, to bring as many souls to God as possible.
And Father Wolfgang, this documentary comes at a time when people really are looking for deeper meaning in life. They want to know about supernatural things like the angels. And I think that this particular documentary is going to stimulate a lot of reflection on the reality of the world of these angels of God that so few Catholics know a whole lot about.
Yes, absolutely. There's a visible world and there's an invisible world. And we are so focused and caught up in this visible world, what we can see, what we can smell, what we can taste, and so on. But the world that surrounds us, the invisible world, most people are not aware of, and that's the real world. And when we connect through faith to this world, then we can really move this world in the right direction. But we need to work with grace. Our Lord said, ask and will receive, knock and the door will be open. So we need to make an act of faith in the supernatural truth, and this includes the holy angels. They surround us. They are part of God's chain of communication of grace. Without them, if you study scripture and tradition and the teaching of the church, actually without the angels, you cannot make it to heaven. They are constant companions through life. And Thomas Aquinas, for example, Francis Sales, and John of the Cross, they all teach that all enlightenment of truth comes to us ordinarily through the angels. That means the enlightenment of faith, that we can believe in the Eucharist, that we can believe in the Trinity, and so on. And this, in a certain sense, also was true for the Blessed Mother. That's the reason why God sent an angel to the Blessed Mother. God did not propose directly to the Blessed Mother. No, that's the rule established by God, how he brings divine truth to man, namely through the angels. This is the wording, the exact wording of Thomas Aquinas. So when you know these principles of the angelic ministry, then your view changes completely, and you know you need the angels. And also in our daily battle, the angels do not only, this again from Thomas Aquinas, help us to know the truth, they mediate the truth, but they also tell us what to do in our daily life. So that therefore they are our daily companions, they enlighten us and they guide us through life.
Father Wolfgang, what impressed you the most of watching this new movie, St. Michael Meet the Angel? What do you think folks will learn and come away from this experience, if they can make it to a theater on the feast day of St. Michael coming up on September 29th?
I think people will get a very good feeling why St. Michael is the patron, one of the three universal patrons of the church. So traditionally, St. Michael was venerated in many places. He was given honor. We have the main pilgrimage place is Monte Gargano in southern Italy, where there's even St. Michael. He dedicated this cave, which is today a church. It can seat about 500 people. He himself consecrated this church, and this is even recognized by the Catholic Church. So you get really a feeling of the greatness of this angel, St. Michael. He is the leader, the captain, the arch strategist of God's army, who leads them into battle, as in Revelation 12 is already pointed out, prefigured. And he's the one who defends us against evil. But not only this, he's a constant companion for every human being. So it really sparks a deep devotion to St. Michael the Archangel, which is the most prominent angel in Catholic tradition.
Again, for much more on how to actually see this movie on St. Michael the Archangel, for tickets and locations, just go to stmichaelmovie.com. That's stmichaelmovie.com. Father Wolfgang, there's so much interest in the angels and the archangels. We have already on the line, he's been waiting for a little bit. Joe is joining us this morning from New Jersey. Joe, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father Wolfgang.
Yes, good morning. First of all, thanks to the oh my gosh, Relevant Radio, for getting me off the road of perdition to the highway to heaven. Okay, just a quick little story about Father Pio. I was in the church in Passaic. We had a priest that was secretary to Father Pio, and every night before he went to bed, he said four words to Father John, who was a priest. And I used that in the church at the beginning when I did the announcements. And everybody was excited. Said, Giovanni, lave tu dientes. They said, what are you talking about? John, brush your teeth. That was a true story. I thought it was cute. Anyway, the reason I called was about St. Michael the Archangel. He's called the Prince of the Heavenly Host. He's in the choir of one of the nine angels, angels and archangels, which is towards the bottom. How how did you get the title Prince of the Heavenly Host? And we're constantly praying that prayer. How does he, I mean, it seems like the devil's always on the loose. I mean, is he allowed out at certain times to do damage? And how does that work?
Yeah, it's amazing that God appointed St. Michael as the Prince of the Heavenly Host, who is only an angel of the eighth choir, the archangel. So it's the second lowest choir out of nine. And this is really God's wisdom, because God chooses the weak in order to, despise the strong. And this is simply, it's the folly of the cross. And Thomas Aquinas, he explains in this way that Michael is the Prince of the Heavenly Host in the sense that he leads the ninth choir, the angel of the ninth choir, into battle, because in the hierarchy of the angels, the three highest choirs, that's called also the first ring, they do normally not actively engage into our world. And the second ring, so this is choir 4 to 6, also do not directly or in a such direct way intervene in this world. And so it's the three lowest. And here, St. Michael is the archangel, therefore he's the captain, and he's the one who leads the angels, mostly the guardian angels, into battle against Satan. And now the reason why he can defeat Lucifer is very simple, because Lucifer, naturally speaking, is immensely more powerful than St. Michael, not just 10 times, but don't take me now, literally a million times more, because the difference between a seraphim and an archangel is immense. But how can Michael then relatively easily defeat Lucifer? It's simply when you rely on your own natural strength, it is nothing in comparison to God's strength. And as we know from Scripture, God exalts the humble and he despises the poor. And through humility, St. Michael, by confessing God, his faith in God, he opens himself in his humility for the fullness of God's grace. And this fullness of God's grace is so powerful, even the most powerful angel can't do anything against it, because the fullness of God's grace dwells in St. Michael because of his humility. And in the grace of God, in the fullness of God's grace in himself, he can defeat Lucifer and his demons easily. So that is the secret. The secret is really humility, like the Blessed Mother. St. Michael is really, for the angels, what the Blessed Mother is for us human beings. It's a very profound mystery. So it's all about humility.
Great question, Joe. Really appreciate you being with us here this morning. Father Wolfgang, we need to take a short break, but first I want to invite our other relevant radio listeners. If you have a special devotion to the guardian angels or to St. Michael the Archangel or any of the other archangels, Gabriel or Raphael, we would love to hear from you. We're taking your calls for Father Wolfgang Seitz, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Father Wolfgang. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
I'm on top of the world.
Triple 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Welcome back to Morning Air on a Friday. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for tuning in as we continue our fascinating discussion about the angels, the archangels, and a new movie that's coming up next week, St. Michael, Meet the Angel. We're chatting this morning with Father Wolfgang Seitz. He is the National Director of Opus Angelorum and truly extremely well-versed on this subject of the angels in general. We're going to get back to Father Wolfgang in a moment, but just in case, for whatever reason, if you've been like on another planet over the last 10 days or so, if you haven't heard, want to just tell you about a new, fun, and educational book here at Relevant Radio. Whether you're Catholic curious or a curious Catholic, learn something new about the Catholic faith, guided by our very own Patrick Madrid in his brand new book, Inquisition, with the accent on the quiz. Expand your understanding from the very beginning tenets of our faith to tidbits that even our experts learned something new about. You can sign up for your free copy, your very own copy of Inquisition today at relevantradio.com/quiz. There's no shipping or handling charges. It is absolutely 100% totally free. But keep in mind that this is only for a very limited time, this offer to get Patrick Madrid's brand new book, Inquisition. You can do it this morning at relevantradio.com/quiz. Father Wolfgang, welcome back. It's really great to be with you to talk about this fascinating subject of the invisible, as you describe it, the angels and archangels.
Yeah, thank you for having me in your show.
Father, you participated at the end of this movie, St. Michael Meet the Angel. You gave your thoughts on the importance of consecration to the guardian angels. Can you talk a little bit about the guardian angels? Does every human being have a guardian angel?
Yes, it's pretty sure that every human being has a personal guardian angel. Some believe only those who are baptized, of course, in, when you're Catholic, because then you have all the sacramental system, then he takes a little bit another position. But we can say every human being has a personal guardian angel for a simple reason, because every human being is created in the image and likeness of God and is destined for seeing God face to face for all eternity. And so for this reason, it just makes fully sense that God assigns to every human being a personal guardian angel. Of course, the angel doesn't have the possibilities in regards if it's a guardian angel to a pagan who is not baptized versus one who is baptized. And then, of course, need to make another distinction if somebody is really devoted to God, to his faith, and not. So the angels depend completely on our collaboration. So simply having an angel does not bring us to heaven. But what is always called in general in the economy of grace, we need to collaborate in our daily life. And this goes also in regards to the holy angels. You were mentioning the consecration to the angels. In order to bring this collaboration with the angels to its full development, that's the reason why we make a consecration to the holy angels. So we entrust ourselves to the angels. We open ourselves more to their influence, to their light, to their strength, to their guidance, and so on. And therefore, we can then follow Christ, God more Christ more perfectly. So the ultimate goal is always the glorification of God and greater union with God. So, and the angels, they are simply, it's not our invention, it's not our planning, it's God's rule. That is his way, how he leads creation to himself or human beings. Through the Blessed Mother, of course, Sacred Heart, the Blessed Mother, but then also through the angels. And therefore the angels have a key role in our life and a communication of grace. It's like you or me. I, as a priest, communicate grace to others. Parents communicate grace to their children. And if a child is open to the parents, for example, to the goodness, it really breathes in the goodness and the all these good dispositions what the parents have. And it will profit a lot from this goodness of the parents. But if the child is closed to the influence, it puts itself in great danger.
Well, so Father, we have a few callers that are standing by. The clock is always the enemy, just ticking away. Molly is joining us this morning from St. Louis, Missouri. Molly, welcome to Morning Air. Your comment for Father Wolfgang.
Yes, good morning, Father. I just wanted to let you know, when I was a little girl, we were on vacation, and the waters were shark infested. but my sisters and brothers were all out in the deep water. And I felt it was my guardian angel that gave me the courage to walk through that water to save my brothers and sisters and guide them into shore. I just, over the years, have felt that closeness of my guardian angel. And I'm much older now, but I just thought it was a story worth telling.
Yes, thank you very much for this story and that. Many, many others, we get tons of guardian angel stories like yours. And this simply shows us the angels are not only interested in our spiritual life, but also in natural life. So they help us in every part of our lives when we simply invoke them and rely on them. But of course, the spiritual life is more important. But as I said, natural life, being protected from accidents, even finding a parking spot and so on. The angels are always happy when we are calling upon them. And the good thing is, you know, often when we are asked 100 times, you know, for help, and it's like, you know, I have also to my own things. The angel will never react in that way. The angels are always happy about everything what we bring to them. For every time we ask them for help, they are happy.
Molly, thank you so much for your call. We have more callers. We are just out of time. Real quick, Father, Tony wants to know if we should continue to pray the St. Michael prayer after Mass. I know they prayed across the street where I go to Mass every day. What do you think, Father?
Yeah, it was officially, it's not obligatory. In the past, it was after low Mass. It was prayed, and John Paul II said, even if it's not obligatory anymore, he really asked everybody to pray this prayer, this St. Michael prayer. When people ask me, I say, you know, so many people don't pray it, so we should pray it more often. Maybe pray it 3 times a day as we pray the Angelus 3 times a day.
Thanks again. Appreciated so much for you being with us this morning, Father Wolfgang. Appreciate your insights. Again, as a quick reminder, St. Michael, Meet the Angel. You can go and learn more about tickets and locations at stmichaelmovie.com, coming up on the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel, Thursday, September 29th. Thank you so much, Father Wolfgang, for being with us.
Yeah, thank you also and all your listeners.
Many blessings to you. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Forgiveness. It's by Letty from Sunny Skies. When we bought our small house many years ago, there was an enormous Japanese red pine in the yard, close to where our neighbors parked their cars. One day, I looked out the window. I saw 4 black crows surrounding a baby squirrel as if hunting it. I went outside and the crows flew to a branch of the tree and the squirrel froze. So I picked up a large rock, making certain to aim in the opposite direction of the cars parked nearby. I hurled the rock at the crows, except the stone ricocheted off a branch, hurtled at a 90-degree angle and shattered the window of a new white Prius. My blood ran cold. In dread and calm, I put my name and phone number under the windshield, went back inside, and watched to see which neighbor's car window I had destroyed. A bit later, a young man came to the Prius, and I ran out to explain the accident, and I promised to take full responsibility. He was very humble and kind, called his relatives, who were my neighbors, as he was visiting, and everyone came out to see, but each person also was very kind. Yet I heard the young man ask his older sister, "How will I go to the wake?" He and his young family were on their way to attend the newly deceased grandmother's wake. Now he also had no car. I quietly cried in remorse and such regrets, but that made his family even kinder. As if this weren't bad enough, the Prius belonged to the company he worked for, which allowed him its use. With all this, a warm forgiveness and a calm, positive outlook embraced me, as if I were one of their own family. The young man called his company. An explanation of events was given. A rental car was covered in the evening's family memorial gathering was attended on time. The very next day, I received a phone call from an agent at the company's insurance office. In an unexpected voice of further kindness, she accepted my explanation of how this accidental damage occurred and agreed to cover all but a tiny fraction of the windshield's replacement cost. I was awestruck at the glowing example for myself and every young child and teen in my neighbor's family. In the moment, decisive cues from that family to respond with utter kindness to the harm that I had done. That is what forgiveness looks like. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves.
Thanks so much, Glenn. As always, remember the words of St. Padre Pio. Pray, hope, and don't worry. That'll do it for this Friday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producer Sarah Tafoya, the whole team, I'm John Morales. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.